What's happening, everybody? This is your boy, Olulemi Goke Jr. This is another episode of The Daily Athlete Podcast. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. Today's topic of conversation comes from a submission I got from No Donuts to Tokyo. Now, the question I got is, what do you do when things aren't going as planned? And how do you stay on course when progress is going more so sideways than forward? I'm really glad I got the submission when I got it, because if you are part of the No Donuts to Tokyo newsletter group, or you've talked to me personally in the past month or two, you probably know that things in my end are moving kind of slow as well. Now, that's not to say slow is necessarily bad. In fact, a lot of the times we need to slow down. And especially as athletes, we don't like to slow down. We tend to just keep charging forward. So when life brings us situations where things are moving slower than we planned or expected them to, this is a perfect opportunity for us to sit and pause and really look and reflect on what we're doing, as well as how we're doing it. I like to call this period, this pause, the holding pattern. A few weeks back, I got on a plane for the first time in 2020 since this pandemic started. And the flights were going well. It was no hiccups, no issues. But as I'm returning home, in the last 10 minutes of the flight, the pilot comes over to intercom talking about, there's a lot of weather in the airport and we can't land just yet. We'll check back with you in 20 minutes. We're going to enter a holding pattern. So now we're 20,000 feet above Atlanta, flying in circles over a thunderstorm. And after that 20 minutes had passed, the pilot came back over to intercom and said, hey, we're still not clear to land. We're going to have to keep flying around this holding pattern for another 20 minutes or so. We'll come back at you. 20 more minutes passed. Same story. So we end up flying around over top of Atlanta for about an hour before the pilot comes back on the intercom for a final time saying, hey, we're not clear to land. The weather has not cleared up. We got to go to Charleston. So we end up flying another 40 minutes away to Charleston, South Carolina to refuel. And then we end up coming back to Atlanta and landing maybe 2 hours after our initial time of arrival. Now, imagine how much trouble would have been caused if the pilot decided he was going to take things into his own hands and try to land the plane in the midst of a thunderstorm in Atlanta anyway. Sure, we could have saved some time, but by charging ahead, we could have caused so many unnecessary problems that could have been avoided with a little bit of patience and space. So before we go any further into this discussion today, I want everybody listening who might be feeling, you know, kind of stagnant in your own life, I want to take this opportunity to remind you to pause, take a deep breath. This holding pattern that you may find yourself in currently is a blessing. Let's get on to point number one. So if you're taking notes, point number one is self-reflection. I personally like to say self-reflection is my secret weapon. I say it not just because it's catchy, but also because it really is one of the most valuable tools in my toolbox as an athlete, but also as a human being. When you're able to self-correct without relying on external feedback, you can save yourself so much time and effort that would otherwise be wasted in searching for external validation or feedback. There's absolutely nothing wrong in getting critiqued by a coach or a peer or a teammate. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when you learn to reevaluate yourself before having to seek that from other people, now you're reclaiming your own personal power. Now, all of a sudden, for example, you don't need to look outside of you as a primary reference for correcting your own action. You can begin to start asking yourself questions like, am I really taking actions that are aligned with my goals? Have I really been heading in the right direction? Are my goals really my own, or do I need to tweak what's on my vision board? All of these are questions that only you can ask yourself. And as you learn to reflect, and especially in those times where nothing's really moving or shaking in your life, if you can use those times to go look within and reflect, then you can start to answer these questions for yourself. And this is important because when things do start moving again, as they will, because they always will, nothing ever stays the same. When things start moving again, you can be sure that you're moving in the right direction towards your goals, your dreams, your ambitions, whatever the case might be, because you've taken the time to look within yourself and check yourself to make sure you're making correct actions. Let me give you a more grounded, concrete example. When I was on the track maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was running and my ankle started to hurt again. Now, many of you who have heard me speak at any point throughout this year, you know I had a pretty significant ankle injury earlier in the year. Now I'm more or less healed from it, but there are times where that ankle gets sore. And the reason why I'm bringing this up to you is because in the past, while I was chasing my goals, I would think that I had to just run through that soreness on the track. I would have to just run through whatever amount of pain with other little niggling injuries here and there. I thought I had to just run through the pain. And you know what that always led me to? It led to me getting hurt later on down the road. So now with this ankle, and of course me being in this time where, as I said, I'm in transition, not many things are moving around as I thought they would be. When I'm on the track and my ankle's feeling sore again, even though it's something I could run through and, you know, kind of put on the back burner, I actually did what I would normally not ever do, and I stopped the session. I did my cool down, I stretched, I wrapped it up, and I went home. That was a direct result of me taking the time to pause and reflect and think if my actions were really aligning with my goals. If I truly believe I am earning an Olympic medal, then it is not always smart for me to run through the pain that my body is telling me to do otherwise. If in the short term I end up doing long-term damage, I am not truly aligned with my goals. So now you may be thinking, what are some actionable ways I can begin the process of self-reflection and evaluation? Well, I'm glad you've asked. I've talked about this many times, and if you've listened to any of my content in the past year or so, you've heard me say this before. Journaling and meditation. I don't think there's a more readily accessible way to begin to process your own actions and behaviors than journaling. And I don't think there's a much better way to begin to analyze your own thought process and patterns than meditation. Here's why. Journaling gives you physical evidence for how you are and how you behave that you can come back to look at later. And meditation allows you to watch your mind as it works and then begin to make subtle changes in your behavior in order to become the better version of yourself. So how do you begin journaling? Simple as taking a piece of paper, putting a pen to the paper, and writing whatever comes to mind. It does not matter, without judgment. It's not good, it's not bad. It could be the craziest thing you've ever written. It could be 5 sentences. It doesn't matter. But what does matter is that you do it consistently. For me, I like to do it every day. You don't have to do it every day, especially if you're not a writer. But even if it's just maybe once a week and you reflect on your training for the week, maybe it's once a month and you just take an account on a certain day of the month of how the past month has gone. If you can just find some way to take evidence of your daily experiences through your journal, I guarantee you it'll pay you dividends in the long run. Meditation is also super easy to get into. Doesn't have to be complicated, doesn't have to be super spiritual, doesn't have to be woo-woo or all about God. It's just about analyzing, not even analyzing. No, let me not even use the word analyzing. It's about witnessing and observing your own thoughts as if they're not you personally. All you have to do to meditate is sit, maybe 1 minute, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, close your eyes, and just sit there and breathe. Focus on your breath. And I can almost guarantee you what's going to happen on your first time trying is you're going to be squirming and thinking about what you ate for breakfast or about how you're meditating wrong or how you can't focus on one thing at a time. Or maybe you start beating yourself up. You're going to think about 1,001 different things before the first minute is up. Good. Sit with it. Stay with it. You're not doing it wrong. Don't say you're doing this wrong. That this is bad or good or otherwise. Just sit there and do it. And if you do that consistently, and again, just like journaling, consistency is what's most important. Although with meditation, I will say a daily meditation practice is far more effective than doing it like once a week. But what even if you do it once a week, if you're able to sit consistently, you can start to watch those patterns in your mind. And earlier I said, you want to be able to watch those patterns, those thought patterns, without thinking that they are you personally. Here's what I mean by that. When we have the thought that says, I'm mad, I'm pissed that guy cut me off on the road while I was driving. As you focus on that thought, you then start to bring your own mood down. Am I right? Maybe you guys aren't driving. Maybe someone says something sideways to you while you're going throughout your day. Think about the last time someone said something to you crazy, or last time you were angry, last time you stubbed your toe on your bed. How easy was it for you to fall into your whole entire mood, or maybe your whole entire day become ruined by that one experience, right? That thought form, that thought that you had that says, this is horrible, that this is bad, that screw that guy thought, those thoughts then lead to more negative experiences just like that. Now, through meditation, we can learn to pause after we experience such a stimulus like that and then choose our response. With animals and with most humans who aren't conscious of it, stimulus and response happens naturally with no pause in between. There's no consciousness, no awareness in between that process. You stub your toe, you cuss and you scream, you're mad. Someone cuts you off, you're cussing at them on the road. Or better yet, maybe you see the Krispy Kreme hot donut light and now you're craving donuts. Whatever the case, it used to be involuntary. With meditation, we can train our minds to experience a stimulus, and instead of just responding, or not even responding, but reacting to that stimulus without choosing our action, we can then find that little gap, that space between stimulus and response, and choose how we respond to that stimulus. We can take experiences that should be quote unquote bad and turn them into good simply because we've been able to rein in our mind. We can begin to learn through meditation that we are not just the thoughts that we think, but we are the observer behind those thoughts. Imagine how valuable it would be to be in competition where you notice you're getting riled up, but to be able to pause and instead of getting riled up, find yourself more calm to be able to execute your technique even better to win the game. That's the power of meditation. That's the power of self-reflection. And that is why, especially when we're in holding patterns in our life, because they are inevitable, we can accept them with grace, we can accept them with patience, and we can use that downtime to tune into ourselves and reflect. And of course, sometimes we kind of do stifle our own progress. It does happen. Sometimes these holding patterns are brought about by actions we've taken in the past that may have screwed us up in the present. Self-reflection is the key that will help you break that cycle. Again, I appreciate your submissions. Keep them coming. It's exactly what I use to create each of these episodes. So if you have a question or a concern or something you want to bring that you would like to have featured on a podcast, go ahead and hit me up on my Instagram at NoDonutsDelTokyo, also at OOlamigoke. You can also shoot me an email directly to hello@thedailyathlete.com. And by any of those three ways, you can shoot your submissions to me. I'll get to you and put it in a future episode. All right, y'all. That's all I've got. Peace.